Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Showtime. How y'all feel? T-T-F-F-F-F. Multi-hostile. Highly motivated, motivated, motivated.
Ah! All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hertl and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Still efforting Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks after their near miss in Austin, 50-48. That would only have been their first win ever down there. Cameron Dicker kicked a field goal at the gun to rescue the Longhorns. Puka Williams went for 190. Carter Stanley passed for 310. I know it's not going to happen all the time, Bruce, but is there maybe we're not making enough of this change to a new offensive coordinator because and I know that's the Texas defense, which we talked about at the time, but if you get anywhere close to 500 yards of offense, now you're cooking with grease, right?
Well, they had a similar kind of performance against Boston College, but I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful that that this is the way that they can move the football and score potentially the rest of the season. You hope that certainly that's the way that it'll be, but God, just give me one defensive stop. Can I pick my defensive stop?
And before we get to Brian, also we reported that Les Miles was a little skeptical on the timekeeper and how quickly the time came off the clock. Apparently that is a Big 12 thing. It's not a Texas thing. And so basically that's a not a homer type of thing, I guess, for lack of a better term. Brian, welcome into the show. Appreciate you making some time for us. I understand you're at Sprint Center?
I am indeed. We've got Big 12 Basketball Media Day underway. Coach Self will be at the podium here in about an hour and a half. We'll recruit from about four of the league's head coaches at this point. And get a chance to rub elbows with some of the players here. So it's off to a great start, as always. And, you know, one thing we love as Jayhawks is being preseason picked to win the league and having a preseason player of the year and all that. I think, as we've alluded to on previous call-ins, the guy picked in October to win it may not be the guy that wins it in March, but I do think it'll be a Jayhawk in March. I think that's Devon Dotson. But Dotson's actually here in a boot today, which is big news. Twisted his ankle. He's day-to-day. Not a serious thing that's going to cost him, you know, major games or anything like that. But that definitely had some folks rubbernecking when they saw him coming in with a walking boot. But I think he'll be A-okay.
Brian, this isn't Big 12 related, but the resumption of the border war, even in the state that it's going to be in, one game apiece over the next 6 years, two in Sprint Center and then home and homes. How fun is that? And how is it being reacted to in Kansas City and throughout the state of Missouri?
Yeah, I don't read the message boards that often, so I couldn't tell you an exact straw poll on what folks are saying, but I've been told that the response has been mostly favorable, but a little bit mixed. Personally, I'm all in. I think it's incredible. I've been calling for this for a long time, and if anybody was in the building where I'm standing right now a couple of years ago when we had the showdown for relief and in an October exhibition game, you know, felt the excitement of 18,000 strong as if it was a Big 12 title game or something. I mean, it was intense. It was competitive. It was everything we missed. And, you know, you hate to say it, but as much as we get up for the Dillon Sunflower Showdown and as much as we love to beat K-State, it's not on the same level of venom as KU Mizzou is. And, you know, not that we need a lot of venom, but that's fun in sports to have those intense rivalries. And it's not quite that going the other direction. And so while this won't have the same stakes that the previous matchups would have had, obviously it's just a non-conference game, it still will be super intense with a lot of bragging rights on the line. And I love the fact that you said, Bruce, that we're going to get some games in Allen and over in Columbia too. I think that as fun as Arrowhead Stadium was for the football incarnation of all this down the stretch of their Big 12 relationship, it also took something away not being at Faurot Field or at Memorial Stadium. And so the fact that in this reincarnation of basketball, you get two on the neutral site and then two in Lawrence, two in Columbia, I think that was the perfect way to do it. Because there's something special about having them come into our house and vice versa with the students going wild and you know, raining down their jeers and boos and all that. And not that you don't get that at the neutral site, but I just think it's extra special on campus. So I think they really drew it up as good as they could in terms of venue and the layout of the six-game set. And hopefully this is something that gets renewed and we have them back on the schedule permanently.
Speaking for Bill Self, does he share your attitude playing at Sprint Center? Does he like it too?
You mean the resumption of the series or going to Sprint Center specifically?
Just playing games at Sprint Center specifically, yeah.
Oh, I think he's good with that, absolutely. I mean, he recognizes that, you know, our biggest alumni base, you know, is right here in Kansas City, mm-hmm. and we kind of feel like this is our town. And obviously there's Mizzou and K-State fans here too, but you know, we feel like Kansas basketball is the flagship program of the Kansas City sports scene collegiately. And you know, you could say K-State football and all that, but I mean, we actually play the conference tournament in Kansas City, a tournament the KU usually is in the mix for, and College Basketball Hall of Fame is here. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the way we look at it, and I hope this doesn't come across as you know, braggadocious or anything, but we kind of feel like, you know, there's three major franchises, four now with Sporting KC's emergence, but you got Chiefs Royal, Sporting KC, and then the brand that is Kansas basketball in the Kansas City market. So that's why we have the Sprint Center game every December, you know, to give those fans something special. And we realize the atmosphere is never going to be the same as what it is at Allen Fieldhouse over right here, but we want to give Kansas City fans, you know, what they deserve in a showcase game each year. And now to have this a couple of times out of the six-game series, I think it's a very good thing for a market that's super important to us at Kansas and one that we feel, you know, Kansas basketball is super important to as well. You know, we thought when this building got built that they might have an NBA tenant at some point. It's not happened, but Kansas is kind of that fourth big franchise when it comes to basketball season in the Kansas City market. So I think Coach Self is totally good with it and realizes the importance of playing here.
What do you think, Brian, are obviously there aren't many overarching questions about KU basketball right now. They're ranked third in the country.
None whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I mean, around the program there are, but I'm talking about on the floor right now. What do you think are the things that, I mean, you're ranked third in the country to start the season. The expectations are very typical KU basketball types of expectations. What do you think the biggest, what are the things you're most curious about that have to happen to kind of live up to that?
Well, I think most notably for me, what's the perimeter shooting going to look like? Obviously, the line's been moved back a little bit. That's not a concern. The concern is they weren't great a year ago once LeGerald was gone and Quinton was so sporadic. You know, you had bursts from Ochai and Devon ended up being around a 36-37% three-point shooter, but for stretches of the first half of the year, he was around 42%. But now with the addition of Isaiah Moss from Iowa, who, you know, was only about a 9-point-per-game guy a year ago, but could really fill it up from the perimeter, how much they lean on him? What about the freshmen like Wilson and Inaruna and Brown, who's from here in the Kansas City area? What do they bring to perimeter shooting? And then I just literally spoke to Ochai Agbaji about 15 minutes before you called and asked him about his three-point shot and the line moving back and all that. And he's very confident as well. But, you know, I think it's not going to be what we saw in the 2017 and 2016 seasons where you had back-to-back years of setting school records because you had prolific three-point shooters. I mean, Devontae and Svi in their senior year both posted two of the best four three-point shooting single seasons in Kansas basketball history. And you just don't have any one guy on your roster quite like that. I mean, Moss, if given the volume, I suppose could be that. But I don't think Ochai's there yet. You know, Ochai a year ago was only 31% from downtown. And so I think that's, to me, the unanswered question. And it's not something that I don't think anybody's losing sleep over. But clearly they have the best front court in the conference, arguably the best front court in the country. Dotson, assuming that the ankle is just a day-to-day thing like we've been told, I think he's got an All-American season in front of him and truly one of the best floor generals in all of college basketball. And they've got impressive length and athleticism on the wing, both defensively and in scoring the ball. So what do they do beyond the arc? And that's where you hope a guy like Moss, who shot 42% a year ago and, you know, had several prolific three-point shooting games where he was really lighting it up in bunches, you know, hit four three-pointers in a game, four or more on five different occasions. You hope that he can be that same type of guy for Kansas. But will that be in a starting role? Will he play starters minutes off the bench, which was alluded to in KU's media day? And we'll see. But that, to me, is probably the thing that I wonder about the most. That and heaven forbid, you know, Devon get in foul trouble or Devon go down because they don't have a lot of depth at the backup point guard spot with Mackie McBride electing to leave the program about a month ago. So that would be Marcus Garrett behind Devon. And, you know, Marcus certainly capable, but you need those 35, 36 minutes out of Devon most nights if you can get them.
Tuesday the 5th in New York in the Champions Classic, after an exhibition, KU will play Duke, a game you can hear right here on KFH, and certainly look forward to that. Before then, Hawk Talk with head coach Les Miles. That'll be Friday night right here at 6 o'clock on KFH. And if you could thumbnail sketch that Texas heartbreak in a minute or so, how would you do it, Brian? That was incredible.
Wait a minute.
What?
You're going to give me 60 seconds to describe 98 points. I don't know if we can do that.
But, I'll give you 12 minutes. We got
start
12
working.
Minutes left. Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, let me just tell you from the play-by-play guy's perspective, mm-hmm. how much fun it is to be competitive on offense, to feel like every time you get the ball, you're going to have a chance to score. And I said something that I think only Chiefs fans can truly say and mean on the air when we were about to see Texas go down and score and take a 7-point lead inside the final 5 minutes. I said to David when they got the ball inside the 10, I said, honestly, I'm okay with them scoring here because I absolutely believe with Brent mm-hmm. Dierman calling the plays, we're going to go down the field, score at will, and then go for two and possibly win this thing. And sure enough, they did in terms of getting the 8 points on their very next possession. They just left too much time on the clock. But to be in that frame of mind compared to where we were just 3 weeks ago, also in the state of Texas, where when we boarded that plane to head back home, our tails were between our legs yep. because, heck, man, we didn't score until 5 minutes into the fourth quarter at all, okay? We wondered on some points that day if we'd get north of 150 total yards. Mm. And so to have it be such a night and day difference just a few weeks later, it makes you competitive. It makes you feel like you got a chance every single week. And from the play-by-play guy's perspective, you know, we went from having our board op cut about two highlights a game to 15 highlights the other night. And that's mm-hmm. fun because we're having a blast up in the booth watching plays be made, prolific catches being hauled in, and the feeling that on any given Saturday you got a chance to win, and on any given drive you got a chance to see something special happen. That's a night and day different kind of feeling heading into a broadcast.
Yep. Well, plus it's kept this football team engaged. I mean, you know, when you're losing games, and there are measures of losing games here and things to be, you know, encouraged about, some things maybe to, you know, you still got to work on. But that kind of wind in the sails keeps a team engaged this late in the season when really it could be getting to be a grind and might be easy to start kind of trying to set the table for next year.
Yeah, and this is the portion of the schedule, Bruce, where he really felt like Kansas could make some hay all along if yeah. they could stay healthy getting to the last five games and if they could stay engaged getting to the last five games, as you just alluded to. Now, they aren't particularly healthy at two specific spots on defense where it looks like McCullough's out week to week, and obviously Prox has been out for a month, the spot where you could least afford to have an injury at linebacker. But beyond that, the offense's resurgence and this newfound confidence of Brent Dierman calling the plays, you know, keeps everybody fired up, because it was getting to the point where, not that fingers are being pointed or anything, but the defense was solid. In most cases, the defense was competitive, and yet when the offense was going in these two- and three-quarter scoring droughts, which happened in half of our games over the first six games of the season, you know, the defense at some point thinks, gosh, dang, what do we got to do here, yeah, you know, to have a chance to win? Now you feel like you got a chance in each game, as I said, and I think that keeps all three phases of the game engaged. Like you mentioned, you get into a portion of your schedule that's a little bit more in your wheelhouse than Oklahoma, Texas, back-to-back, and a road trip to TCU and all that. And now maybe we can see Kansas still achieve the types of things that you and I were talking about back in August when I said this could be a four-win team. I stand by that. I think the next 2 weeks will be a season-defining fortnight for Kansas, and hopefully that includes at least one, maybe two wins with Texas Tech and K-State coming up.
I don't disagree. 4:30 Saturday night for the pregame, or Saturday afternoon, 6 o'clock for the kick right here on KFH, KU, and Texas Tech. No, you're busy, Brian, so we'll let you go. We appreciate you making the time for us in Kansas City today.
Hey, always a pleasure, fellas, and a shout-out to my man Ryan Beatty at the Mattress Hub, locally owned and operated, one of Wichita's best human beings. I was just down there at the Chicken and Pickle on Sunday for a fundraiser we had for Jeff Hoyg. I told you about him last week, a guy that's fighting brain cancer, and just so determined, such an inspiration, and I got to see Ryan and his brother Matt at that event, so truly some of my favorite people on the planet are right there in Wichita, and support good people that have good businesses, and check out themattresshub.com today if you would. Thanks, fellas.
Yep.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks,
you
Brian.
Got
it. Yeah,
Beatty's, much appreciated.
Beatty's a great people. Brian Haney from Sprint Center in Kansas City. Basketball, they've got an exhibition against Fort Hays. That's Thursday. That's tomorrow night at 6, pregame anyway. And then Hawk Talk with Les Miles Friday night at 6, and then Saturday night at 6. They kick with Texas Tech, and we talked about this before, and I wholeheartedly agree. I think Texas Tech and K-State are both very gettable for Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
They're coin flip games to me. And that K-State game is a 2:30 kick on November 2nd. That was a TB-determined kick up until a couple of days ago. But Saturday night's 6 o'clock, and then the Sunflower Showdown on the 2nd is 2:30. You can hear that right here on KFH.
Hmm.
So there you have it.
I'm trying to sit here. I mean, the Big 12 was really good last year, obviously, and had great depth. I'm wondering what it looks like more this season. I mean, Kansas, Texas Tech, Baylor, I think, are generally the three teams that people talk about the most. And then you get a midsection with what, Texas and Iowa State, Oklahoma State, West Virginia. Is K-State would be in that mix?
Did you accidentally include Baylor in the also-rans?
No, I think Baylor is probably top three, right?
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to be clear.
I mean, they're getting Tristan Clark. That's a pretty good basketball team. So probably KU, Texas Tech, and Baylor are your three teams to beat, right?
I assume.
Preseason?
I guess.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
Texas Tech, for sure. I mean, they're 13th in the country
Texas
or something
Tech.
Like that. Yeah. I want to say Baylor's down in the – they're in the top 25. Rattled those off the other day, and I'm pretty sure that all three of those guys are in there. Yeah, yeah. But the best of the rest, that's a little – tougher for me to wade through when you get past those three guys. I don't know how good Oklahoma's going to be, Oklahoma State. I mean, you?
No. I think Oklahoma State's going to be improved.
Baylor is 16, Texas Tech is 13. Okay, KU is 3. So we were right about that part.
Yeah.
Any other Big 12 teams at the moment receiving votes, and the answer would be no.
No.
So you everybody got, else is fighting you, for
yeah, so middle. You got table scraps for Texas, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, I think, is improved. West Virginia's kind of okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. K-State's replacing a ton.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they do have Xavier Sneed back.
I do hold out some confidence and hope in K-State.
I do,
honestly,
too.
Honestly, now that I think about it.
Oklahoma. Don't they have – they've got like – I think Oklahoma's got like 7 or 8 new guys.
Yeah, I'd have to check on that roster, but
– I think and TCU is in the same boat. I think Oklahoma and TCU both have almost entire roster changes. Not in, yeah, I mean, you know, they've got some guys.
Like
but
Doolittle and Manic, are those guys gone finally?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
They were 20-14 overall last year. OU was 7-11 in the league.
Yeah. So it's an interesting league. Last year it was deep.
Actually,
it was really, really deep and really, really competitive.
Doolittle is the only senior on the roster, so wow. He is back, but he's the only senior.
That's it.
And I'm looking at their Brady Manick is a junior. Don't recognize a whole lot of these other names besides Austin Reeves. Former Shocker.
He's eligible.
Yeah.
Shaka's smart. I can't get him figured out at Texas. I keep thinking at some point they're going to be good. So, and Iowa State's got Travis Halliburton. So, I mean, there's some guys in the league, but not the type of teams they had, I think, looking at last year when that 14-year streak was ended at Kansas. Interesting.
All right.
We'll get to it. We got much more to get to.
How about some college football 1 to 10?
1 to 10 in college football. By the way, the one you asked about last week, I did swing and miss on, and I ended up watching not a fair amount of it, but the end of it, and that was the Wisconsin-Illinois game.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I didn't count on a 30-point underdog figuring out a way to beat Wisconsin, who strangely went for it on a third and or passed the ball on a 3rd and 5 with the lead and 2 minutes left. Don't understand that still.
Oh, so good.
All right. We'll do it again.
All right.
Back in a minute.
Bruce Hurdle and T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.